morning and welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the fastest growing and largest segment of society. To those of you who know that the world's religious, political, economic, and military institutions are corrupt, that they have become counterproductive, and that they cannot be fixed. I am Yada. Our phone number, if you would like to participate in this program at any time over the next 2 hours, is toll-free 877-376-45. Reuters is reporting, and I use that term loosely since there are no journalists left in America, that the signs are growing that Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu's planned speech to Congress against a possible nuclear deal with Iran could damage his country's broad alliance with the United States. So coming to the United States and talking to the highest political body in the United States about the world's foremost foe could damage relationships with the United States. Now, if you were the writer of this article, some nincompoop somewhere out there that got good grades in English, don't you think you'd say, how could that be? How could the only sane country, the only civil country in a whole swath of territory that we call the Middle East, how could that one representative government in the entirety of the realm of dictators, how could the one place that punishes terrorism rather than celebrates terrorism, how could they come to the United States and speak about the single worst country on the planet, Iran, and be against Iran developing nuclear weapons, and that threatens his country's alliance with America? Now, since Israel is doing everything right in this regard, it's got to mean that America, at political levels, is doing everything wrong. That's the only way that that can be viewed. If you are a rational, informed, and moral person, you have to recognize that the abominator, that the President of the United States, that the moron, the narcissist, that the majority of those who voted, sided with, proclaimed their allegiance to, is so hostile to those things which are in opposition to Islam that he would destroy America's reputation and relationship with Israel because he was personally slighted. That's all there is to this. Why can't the journalist see it? The slight here is singular. Obama is an anti-Semite. Obama is pro-Islam. Obama is a narcissist. He despises Israel. He despises Netanyahu. And he didn't want to see him. He'd much rather cozy up to some Muslim who is sponsoring terrorism around the world. And so he would not meet with him. So at this important juncture, when the Obamanation administration is sanctioning Iran's nuclear capabilities, the Republican leadership did what's appropriate to bring in a rational voice, a voice with a great deal at stake, to warn the American people that this administration, the Obamanation, was about to make one of the gravest mistakes in all of history. And that's going to fray U.S.-Israel relationships because of the ego of an anti-Semite that you, America, elected president, not once, but twice. This then says the right-wing leader's acceptance. He's not a right-wing leader. And his position politically in Israel is irrelevant. But he's not right-wing. His Likud party is more conservative than is the Liberal Party. Oh, there you go. You know, the Liberal Party is completely out of favor in Israel. It will garner maybe 20% of the votes. And the most conservative party, their Eretz party in Israel, is vies for Likud for votes. And so Likud is no longer a white right-wing party. They're not even the most popular conservative party. Now, Ken, this illustrator of a moron that writes for Reuters wasn't smart enough to accept that, realize that. And it, he or she goes on, accepted a Republican invitation to address the U.S. legislature. He accepted the Speaker of the House's invitation to speak at the House of Representatives. It didn't matter if the Speaker of the House was a Martian. He's the Speaker of the House. This was not about politics when Bonner invited him to speak. It's about world security. It's not about politics when Netanyahu agreed to speak. It's about the very survival of his country. The only person that it's about here is the Obaminator and this liberal moron of a pipsqueak writer who might have gotten good grades in English, but that's their only contribution to the world. Doesn't realize it. His acceptance, the way this is phrased, is just preposterous. By Netanyahu brought long-strained relations with President Barack Obama to a new low and to the partisan level. No. As a matter of fact, the most liberal of liberals in the U.S. Congress are the Black Caucus. The members, the constituents of the Black Caucus met with their congressmen and women about a week ago and said, don't you dare side with the president on this and walk out on Netanyahu's speech. Don't you dare do it. Now, this is only about Netanyahu's overt animosity to Israel. He, being an anti-Semite, he spent all of his time in Reverend Wright's anti-Semitic church, and he was raised a Muslim in madrasas. It is preposterous that the scribblers associated with media outlets are promoting the lie from the perspective of the Obaminator, echoing his narcissism, attracted to him like a moth to a flame. While the U.S. and Israeli officials assist that key areas of cooperation from counterterrorism to intelligence to cybersecurity will remain unaffected. Now, the fact of the matter is that Israel and the United States no longer have trusting relationships on counterterrorism. The United States is the principal arms merchant to the Islamic terrorists. Israel is the principal victim of those weapons. As for intelligence, the Israelis have become ravaged from an intelligence point of view by this administration. This administration routinely twists Israeli intelligence reports, takes them out of context, misrepresents them, kind of like Paul does with the Torah, prophets, and Psalms, to create the opposite impression of what's true, and in the process reveals inside information from the Mossad that was shared privately. And so there is no more exchange. No one in Israel trusts Obama, and for good reason. And no one, from an intelligence point of view, trusts the United States. No one. American citizens ought not trust the United States. That was the purpose of Eric Snowden's release of NSA information, was to show that we Americans ought not trust our intelligence. When it became obvious that the U.S. was engaged in torture and that the authorization for torture had come from Dick Cheney and George W. Bush and Condoleezza Rice and the head of the CIA and the head of the Department of Defense, and no one did anything about it when we were acting as the slimiest, most immoral of nations, and everyone just yawned. It's indicative of what we have become. The strained relationship with Israel has nothing to do with Israel, has nothing to do with Netanyahu, has all to do with the disgusting piece of slime that currently soils the White House and those of you who voted to put him there. Israel is concerned that Obama's Iran diplomacy, it's not Iran diplomacy. He's not engaged in diplomacy with Iran. This isn't about diplomatic relations. Idiot that scribbled this article. This is about trying to stop Iran from completing a nuclear bomb, because that's a game changer for the world. With an end in March deadline for a framework for a nuclear agreement, they have passed every deadline thus far with nothing, which will allow its arch foe to develop an atomic bomb. You know, to put this in the perspective of Iran is Israel's arch foe is so ridiculously misleading. First, it suggests that Israel at some time has engaged in a war against Iran. It hasn't. It's to say that Iran is Iran's existence is being threatened by Israel. It hasn't. The truth is, on the surface, that Iran has constantly said from the highest religious and political levels of that country that its goal is to annihilate Israel. And they have said that their nuclear program will be used to annihilate Israel. And that's just the surface. Deep down, scratch beneath the surface, and what you find is that the problem is that Islam is at war with all things Israel and all Israelites. And that Islam will not rest until every Jew is dead. Or we deal with them in the first place. Israel fears that Iran will end up having a nuclear bomb. They're not alone. As I said on a program several days ago, that the Saudi Arabians and the Kuwaitis are actually screaming diplomatically to Obama nation that what he is doing is essentially giving them carte blanche to a bomb, and they are now saying that they're going to develop nuclear bombs. That the Saudis need to enter the nuclear arms race and need to develop nuclear bombs because of the threat that Iran poses against them as a result of the malfeasance, the incompetence of the narcissistic Obama nation. That's where we have come. This scribbler of a moron that wrote this article says, previously Israel has always been careful to navigate between the Republican and Democratic camps. No, it's not true either. The fact is that most American Jews, which represent about 42% of the Jewish population in the world. 42% of Jews, 42 to 43, live in Israel. 40 to 42% live in the United States. So it's about the same size Jewish population in Israel as lives in the United States. Of the Jews who live in the United States, they are almost exclusively Democratic. That's just a fact. They don't navigate between them. If Israelites want to partner politically with Jews in America, they're going to be partnering with Democrats. Now, it's interesting, even though Jews in America very seldom vote in favor of a Republican candidate, the Republicans are actually more pro-Israel than the Jews are. And that certainly more pro-Israel than are Democrats. And the reason for that is that a disproportionate number of Republicans come from evangelical, conservative Christian churches where there is a realization that God did say, I will curse those who curse thee, I will bless those who bless thee. Sad situation. And it's all it is another symptom of America's ongoing moral decline. This is a related story. It's an interesting twist on things. This woman is half right, but at least she's half right as opposed to the abominator who's wholly wrong. It says she was Hawaii's golden girl after winning a seat in Congress with support from top liberal groups. But now that Democratic representative, Tulsi Gabbard, has been critical of the abominator, it says President Obama. Her political reputation in the bluest of states is taking a hit. You see, when you criticize a narcissist, you'll have hell to pay. Narcissists do not handle criticism well. They're vicious. Doesn't matter. If you agree on every political unit, if you're critical in any way of a narcissist, as is the abominator, the knives come out. That isn't stopping the twice-deployed 33-year-old Army veteran from continuing to challenge the president, her home state's favorite son, over his refusal to identify terrorist groups like the Islamic State that is driven by, in her words, radical Islam. Well, the president won't even associate Islam with terrorism, even though Islam is responsible for 99.9% of today's terrorist acts. This idiot that we have in the White House won't even associate the Islamic State with Islam. He even says that the Islamic State is not Islamic, when they are the most fundamentalist Islamic organization on planet Earth today. Their motivations, their citations are exclusively from the Torah, from the Quran and Hadith. They are following Muhammad's example. They are establishing Sharia law. Quote, every soldier knows this simple fact. If you don't know your enemy, you will not be able to defeat them, Gabbard told Fox News. Our leaders must clearly identify the enemy as Islamist extremists, understand the ideology that is motivating them and attracting new recruits, and focus on defeating that enemy both militarily and ideologically. Well, when did we reach the point where telling a half-truth was a breath of air, a breath of fresh air? But it's simply a half-truth. The Islamic terrorists are not Islamic extremists. They're not radicals. They are only Muslims, simply good Muslims, the best of Muslims. And even she is trying to disassociate Islamic terrorism from mainstream Islam. That can't be done rationally. So Gabbard, the darling of the Democrats, who is now being demeaned by the narcissist loyalists, says our leaders must clearly identify the enemy as Islamist extremists, understand the ideology that is motivating them and that is attracting new recruits, and focus on defeating that enemy both militarily and ideologically. But I would say to her that if you do not know Islam well enough to understand that the Muslim who are engaged in terrorism, Boko Haram, for example, the Islamic State, are fundamentalist Muslims, that they are following Muhammad's example, that their behavior is identical to the behavior portrayed by the first Muslims, including Muhammad himself, in the Quran and Hadith. If you don't know that, then how in the world can you defeat their ideology? How can you defeat this enemy if you do not know them? To say that this is an extremist radical view of Islam is to say that you don't know Islam, that you are ignorant of Islam. You moved halfway towards the truth. Should we applaud? I mean, the abominator won't even associate Islam with terrorism. He calls the foe extremism. Now, he's completely and totally wrong. I mean, you couldn't be any further from right than is Barack Hussein Obama. He is a complete and outright liar. He knows the truth. He's just chooses to deceive because he's in favor of Islam. Now, as for Gabbard, she's half right. Half right doesn't cut it, folks. It just doesn't. But it does get her in a pickle with her boss. Or the man who thinks that he's her boss. Gabbard has been hitting at this message for weeks now, putting her at odds with many in the party who toe the line that the Islamic State should not be associated with Islam. Toe the line. Now, the only person who is making that claim is the abominator, and he knows he's lying. So to be in good stead with the liar, you must support his lie. Gabbard called mind-boggling Obama's refusal to associate the Islamic State with the Muslim religion. Even though the terrorist army is emphatic, it is enforcing a strict interpretation of Islam. It's not enforcing a strict interpretation of Islam. It's enforcing Islam. I mean, Muhammad was a terrorist. I mean, how many times do we have to report the truth before somebody is going to get it? It's not an extreme or a strict interpretation of Islam. Sharia is not a strict interpretation of Islam. Islam is Islam. There's only two sources of information, the Quran and Hadith, and the fact is the Quran is Hadith. The only one spokesperson for the black stone of the Kaaba, Muhammad. And Muhammad and his Quran and Hadith are repulsive. Islam is a criminal enterprise. It was created to rob people of their possessions and their lives. She said Obama is completely missing the point of this radical Islamic ideology that is fueling these people. Now, it's just Islamic ideology that's fueling them. Her comments have stunned political experts in her home state. You see, to be popular politically, you've got to lie. It is very, very unusual for a junior member of the president's own party to criticize him, said Colin Moore, assistant professor at the University of Hawaii's Department of Political Science, especially for someone considered a rising star in the party. This is a serious gamble for her. Criticizing a liar. Trying to, I mean, she's not correcting the lie, but she's at least exposing the fact that he's lying. She can't correct it until she's correct, but she is exposing that the president is lying about the single most deadly issue of our day. The Islamic State, calling them non-Islamic. You couldn't say something that was further from the truth about a subject as deadly as this. It is going to shape the rest of human existence as we know it. And it's very unusual for someone to say, you know, he's lying when he is. It is, by the way, now unusual. We just don't confront lies. Political correctness is such that it is to be politically political, you must be incorrect. And you must toe the line. All agreeing to be collectively incorrect. Michael Perry of Hawaii's most popular radio station said that while Gabbard is correct in her emperor has no clothes moment, she may have lost her future seat on Hawaii's political bench. He said she's committed a mortal sin by challenging the president, and now the knives are out. A mortal sin is to expose lies and reveal the truth. It's a mortal sin in politics to tell the truth. That's stunning, isn't it? So if you want to know why America has fallen to where it has fallen. If you want to know why America has no hope, there's no future. You want to know why America is despised around the world, which it is today. If you want to know why America is hopelessly in debt, why America has the largest prison population of any country in the world, why America has to have the largest military in the world and is using it to make bad situations worse. If you want to know the answer to this, it was in this man's statement that by telling the truth, she committed a mortal sin. You know, in political correctness, telling the truth is a crime for which there is no remedy. In political correctness, using good judgment is a sin. Differentiating between right and wrong is a sin. That is how generations in America have been indoctrinated. They're no longer even capable of knowing right from wrong. And they have been conditioned that to be popular, to be accepted, you must embrace the same lie. Never question it. For now, she's taking her hits in the media. Why? Because the media is the foremost evangelist for political correctness. The editorial board of the online political news journal Civil Beat, owned by eBay founder Pierre Omidyar, said, "The bright red right is promoting her criticism, but she's not presenting serious policy arguments." This is like Hillary Clinton, when her husband was being accused of having an inappropriate sexual encounter with an intern in the Oval Office. She called it a great right-wing conspiracy. That line seemed to prevail with the thoughtless American population until such time as his semen was found on her dress. How much blood are Muslims going to spill before someone says, this is not a right-wing conspiracy? One wonders where Gabbard is going with this. For sure, the Iraq War veteran is a rising political star and achieving national prominence and a high-profile discussion. But at what cost? The editorial board wrote, saying that her comments could be dismissed as pandering from a young politic with lofty ambitions. Pandering. Telling the truth is pandering. Exposing a lie is pandering. Here they're saying, and they're right, that by criticizing the narcissist president, that her career has been forever damaged. In one breath, and the next breath they say she's doing it for political reasons. They have literally lost the ability to be rational, even in their own arguments. We've been dumbed down to the point that it's hopeless. Bob Jones, a columnist for the Oahu-based Midweek, wrote a scathing piece suggesting that Gabbard should be challenged in 2016. I take serious issue when somebody who's done a little non-fighting time in Iraq and is not a Middle East or Islamic scholar claims to know better than our president and our secretary of state how to fathom the motivations of terrorists or how to refer to them beyond the term that best describes them, terrorists, Jones said. Oh my God, Bob, hell will be too kind a place for you. What a disgusting scumbag that man is. And he's a columnist for an Oahu-based newspaper. And rather than take the time, Bob didn't bother to read the Quran. All he had to read is the first 9 surahs to know that she was right and the president was lying. Rather than read Prophet of Doom, which was made available to him free, which has the entirety of what's known about Muhammad, everything that was written within the first 200 years after Muhammad's death, presented in chronological order in the context of Muhammad's life, and meticulously documented for your perusal, Bob, You pretend that the president is right. You disregard all evidence to the contrary. And you say that the president is right and that she, by telling the truth, is lying. Ignorance. Being wholly and completely irrational. Being disgustingly immoral. Being so wrapped up in political correctness that you couldn't find the truth or recognize it if it hit you between the eyes. That's where we've become. Thanks to the Bob Joneses of the world. This is what America now represents. We are a lost and grossly immoral nation, wholly incapable from discerning right from wrong, truth from lies, good from bad. Islam will destroy us, and we deserve it. I'd like to return to Bob Jones, the idiot columnist for the Oahu-based midweek newspaper, because what he did here is he used the ad hominem argument. It's a fallacy. It shows that Bob Jones is incapable of understanding logic, because what he resorted to here was strictly ad hominem. Now, the issue is, she's saying that it is wrong for the president and for everyone to disassociate the Islamic State from Islam, that the terrorists are Muslims, and that we cannot disassociate their ideology from who they are if we want to prevail against them. And we have to engage them not only from an ideological position, but to understand what role that plays in their ability to recruit, what Islam plays in their ability to recruit. And she's right in all of that. And the evidence is ubiquitous, it's overwhelming, it's undeniable, it is rationally irrefutable. There is no evidence that can be brought to bear against her argument, and there's no evidence that can be brought to bear in favor of the president's position. I mean, this is as black and white in favor of Gabbard and as black against the president as any argument can be on the evidence, whether the evidence is historical or the evidence is scriptural. But what did Bob Jones do? Bob Jones knows that he can't win this argument with evidence and reason. So he launched an argument that was wholly and completely ad hominem. It's a logical fallacy. I take serious issue when someone who has done a little non-fighting in Iraq. What does that have to do with it? She's been in Iraq, so she wasn't in a fighting position. Was Obama in a fighting position? Was Obama in Iraq as a soldier? What does that have to do with Islam? It's an ad hominem argument. It's a weak ad hominem argument. A little non-fighting in Iraq. He's trying to degrade her, disgrace her. And is not a Middle East or Islamic scholar. Do you have to be an Islamic scholar to understand Islam? Now this gets back to, what is a scholar? The scholar is somebody that knows a lot and understands nothing, typically. Why does one have to be an Islamic scholar? Bob, can't you read? Are you incapable of reading the first 9 surahs of the Quran? Can't you Google www.prophetofdom.net? Then read everything there is to know about Muhammad and the creation of Islam? Are you incapable of doing a little research yourself? A little reading? Do you have to be an Islamic scholar to be able to position a conclusion regarding Islam? Or maybe just the Quran and Hadith are sufficient? Bob? Claims to know better than our president and our secretary of state how to fathom the motivations of terrorists. Or how to refer to them beyond the term that best describes them as terrorists. Well, Bob, terrorism is a tactic. Terrorism doesn't motivate the terrorist. Terror motivates the victims of terrorism, There's no motivation for being a terrorist apart from religion and politics. Which religion? Bob? Why is it that there's a 99.9% correlation between the most fundamentalist Muslims and terrorist acts? Bob? Why is the war in Syria that the Islamic State is engaged in between rival Islamic sects, Sunni and Shia? Bob? Why would you describe people's motivation by the tactic they deploy? Bob? Why use an ad hominem argument when that's a rational fallacy? Bob? If you've got such a big case against Gabbert, Bob, why don't you use evidence and reason to bring it, as opposed to a fallacy? Are you incapable, Bob? Do the facts not support your lie, Bob?